the most important relationship that we'll ever have. Also, the first, the last, and the longest relationship we ever have is the one with ourselves. And the way to create that nurturing and loving and respectful relationship with ourselves is through having great habits.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the GoingNorthPodcast.com shop. It is going to help you have northbound direction to your own success. If you want a great inspirational quote like advance others to advance yourself, or today a reader, tomorrow a leader, heck, even some puns like pile on and always fully booked on your tote bag, mug, hoodie, heck, even a t-shirt, and many, many other items, head over to GoingNorthPodcast.com, click on the shop tab, and cop yourself some merchandise indeed. And that's GoingNorthPodcast.com/shop. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today. Courtesy of podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers and digs. Let me tell you a bit about her, because we got one heck of a treat for you that's good enough to eat two times over, because today's wonderful guest has not only joined the business of immortality by publishing multiple books, she's also a speaker as well as an entrepreneur, coach, and a human behavior specialist. Let's give it up for the amazing and sensational, the fabulous Anna Shalina. How you doing today, Anna?
Hi, I'm great. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure indeed. My pleasure indeed. I'm like, sure, this chick's killing it. I'm like, all right, cool. This ain't a first rodeo. It's like, oh, habit freedom, freedom from habits. And then out of nowhere, did my homework. I'm like, oh, she had a book out called The Business Tango. Okay, cool. So this ain't a first rodeo. She had a gap in between the two books.
I did have a second book. So Habit Freedom is actually my third book. So the first one is Business Tango. That one is available on Amazon and all the platforms. And then the second book was self-published, called The Mystery and Magic of Depression. I still sell it privately if anyone wants to learn about how to get through depression without the meds. So using plant medicine, I'm happy to share it. But when I started promoting that book, I realized that I really didn't want to talk about depression on podcasts. Like, I found that season of my life was finished and writing that book had completed that healing. And so that's where I moved on to really optimizing my habits and becoming the best version of myself and creating this amazing relationship with myself, and started to write about that. And then I realized, hang on, I can talk about relationships, relationship with myself, with others, and habits for an entire lifetime or 10 lifetimes. So that's what I did. And that's what I wrote about in Habit Freedom.
So that's why I couldn't find that third book. Okay, now it all makes sense. I'm like, oh, wait, Mr. Magic of Depression. Wait, let me go to her link tree or whatever. It's like, wait, it's not freaking here. It's like, oh, it's hidden.
Yes, but I love the research that you've done. Very, very thorough. I really appreciate that.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Don't want to be your average bear podcast host, you know. Gotta, you know, do some homework, you know. Just kind of have you on here. Gotta ask some questions, you know. Gotta dive in and see what you're about. It's like, yeah, let's see what's in Anna's brain.
It's good.
But hey, as with all introductions, I'm not allowed to cover everything because we'd probably be here for freaking, I don't know, 31 days. So my goodness, am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you?
I grew up in an immigrant family. So we immigrated from Ukraine to South Africa. I was just 6 years old. So I have two incredible, very hardworking parents that were hustling and making things happen and setting up a brand new life for their young family. And yeah, while I lived a very privileged, childhood, and I'm very lucky to have everything that I had. I also experienced quite a bit of loneliness as a child. And I felt, because I was so awkward and I really struggled with relationships and I struggled with people, I couldn't understand them. I experienced a lot of rejection. I was awkward. I had a weird accent. Like everything about me was just weird. So it's interesting because I find that the things that we perceive as voids in our childhood become our values in our adulthood, right? So the voids of like, I perceived that I was missing the connection, missing the relationships. I felt lonely. I made that entire thing into a career by studying relationships, studying humans, studying connection, and doing whatever I can to make sure that I understand this topic. So that's kind of like where it all began as a young girl. And then I studied in university. I have an honors degree in property studies. So it's quite different from what I'm doing right now. It was the thing that made most sense on paper. And I love property to this day, but it wasn't my like primary career. I also spent about 8 years working in hospitality, which I absolutely love because I love the ability to make someone's day, right? To serve them and just make someone smile. And so that really set me up to whatever business I'm in, number one is always service. I can always find ways to bring that element of service into any and every business that I've started. So after hospitality, I had a wine export business. My business partner and I exported wine from South Africa to Ghana and to Zimbabwe. And that was fun, especially because we didn't know what we were doing at the time. We just dove in, did zero market research. It's quite incredible what we were able to achieve. But once we ran out of money in that business, which happens from time to time in businesses, I got the opportunity to start a security guarding company. And so that was also like a huge school in a sense of leadership. All of a sudden I had people to manage and teams and building systems. And yeah, it was incredible. I was able to sell contract after contract, month after month. But after a couple of years, I really felt burnt out in that industry. There was very little joy in security guarding. Every single phone call was like, your guard is sleeping, or your guard did this, or your guard's not on time, or it's just a million different problems, which every business is a million different problems. We're in business to solve problems. I'm not denying that at all. But the problems that I had to be solving in that business just made me into a bit of a bitter person, to be completely frank. So I found myself not in my soft feminine at all, very much in my stern, strict, hardcore personality that I didn't love. And so decided to exit that and sell my shares of that business. And that's when I started to consult and coach. Also because from the age of 18, I've been going to personal development seminars. And so I had been to almost every seminar under the sun. I felt from Malaysia to Singapore to South Africa, all over the US. I was very lucky that my dad was really into these seminars. He was learning to trade at the time. And so with these trading seminars, they often have mindset elements as well. And they send you to, you know, all these different personal development seminars. So lucky enough, he took me along. And that's where I really found like my groove. I was like, okay, I'm really interested in this, like the personal development, what makes people tick, what are the blocks we have, where do they come from, how do we break free from that them. And so when I exited the security company, I could finally implement all those things that I had learned from 20 years of being in personal development. And I was able to apply all the business knowledge that I had from the security company, from the export business. I was able to apply the service stuff and all the personal development and human behavior studies as well. And that's where I started coaching about 10 years ago.
You love to see it. Well, silly question. So when you had the security company, like, were you actually a guard for just the laughs and giggles out of sight just at least once? Or you just bought part of the company because somebody's itching to get out of it and you didn't do anything but take the calls of folks complaining about the lazy guards?
That's a really profound question. So do you have a security company? You do need to have the certifications. So I took the test. I took the test because, I don't know, there's that law that you can't be a shareholder unless you have that piece of paper. So technically speaking, I could totally do a shift at a site and that would be completely above board. But no, I didn't do any shifts. I did sell every contract that we had, and I did manage the whole process from A to Z, from the uniforms on the guards to the rosters to, you know, we had a team that also supported this process, but I was on the front lines of everything. I did all the customer and client service. So I actually built it from the ground up, and yeah, I learned a lot in the process. Again, it was another business that I knew nothing about. And going from business to business that I knew very little, if anything, about really gave me that attitude of like, oh, everything is figure outable. You know, I'd ask people, I could learn, I could dive into things, I could take a class. And that has really helped me in many areas of my life.
Yeah, good times it did. Because I was just pitching a security guard outfit and someone being stupid, be like, what's this cute shit going to do? And then out of nowhere, they wake up later because they got tossed out the building, like, what the heck happened?
You know, I had this moment with a security guard. We had just started a brand new site. It was a hotel. It was about 14 guards that had started. We'd done the induction. And this guard comes to me. He's like, ma'am, you know, I really want your job. And I was like, really? Would you like the responsibility of paying 1,000 security guards? And she looks at me and she's like, no, ma'am. And I was like, okay, good. Go back to your post, please. So everyone says they want this or that, but then to ask yourself like, oh, really? Do you really want the responsibility of that? And people quickly realize that, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, it's true, because I did flip through your first book too, and it's just interesting because it's like, oh yeah, like I don't want to be an employee, like I want to be a boss. And it's like, all right, it's time for you to do some boss behavior, buddy. And it's like, oh crap, this is more than I expected when I finally got to become a boss.
I know, they sell it so well though, Dom, right? They like, it's going to be all this glitz and glam and money and freedom and time and everything. And then you get in it and you have less money, less time, less freedom, more stress. They say, you know, entrepreneurs are the guys that quit the 9 to 5 to work 24/7.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. It's like, yeah, 40 hours a week. Nah, that's too many hours. That's too much. I don't like it. I'm like trapped like a bird in a cage. You know what? 24/7. You know what? Forget it. I'm going to do 24/6. I'm going to take one day off a week. Yeah. Yeah, that'll show them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and do 144 hours instead of 40. Yeah, how do you like them apps?
And at the very least, you get to build your own dream versus someone else's. You know, as an employee, we do build other people's dreams, which there's a place and time to build other people's dreams. But when we are called to step into our own power and build our own dreams, then you do whatever it takes. That's the price we pay for that.
Yeah, that's the price indeed. That's right indeed. And besides, you're probably going to need some extra capital on the side just to feed yourself and family if you got one on top of that while you're building your own dream too. So shoot. That's the other part. It's like, hey, everybody doesn't need to be an entrepreneur. It's like, hey, if you want to do it, great, try it out. But hey, still have some brain in your head. don't take the whole brain out. Have a little self-care about it.
Leave some for the next guy.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right indeed. Just make sure the next guy isn't a zombie. He'll be like, ah, brain, the drought was so high. Let me eat this brain now before it disappears. Be like, no, yeah,
but this is not where I was expecting the conversation to go, but this is, I'm having a grand time.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Rabbit holes galore here. So my goodness. So sold off all those wonderful companies and starting your own. So what helps you to realize, you know what, let me go ahead and finally write some books and become an author. Was it from being a metaphorical guinea pig going all to all those personal and professional development conferences? You're like, all right, I've got so much in me. Let me become one of those folks.
I wish that I had a super inspirational answer for this, Dom, and say, like, I woke up one day and had this vision for this book, and I just wanted to share everything that I'd studied and help other people and add value. But the honest truth is quite different. I went to another seminar, which is like on brand for me. And the seminar sold me the idea that once you become an author, people take you seriously. So it started off as a branding exercise. So I paid $15,000 to be taken seriously. Mind you, I was in my early to mid 20s at the time. And so I was sick and tired of knocking on doors and people, you know, having a certain perception of perspective of me. And so I thought, wait, I know it will help, a book. So that's where the first book came from. It was mostly a branding exercise. It was great because I had to then organize all of the ideas that I had into something that made sense for people. So I really like, I recommend writing books so much because you actually have to make sense, not just for yourself, but for other people. And that really like solidifies the value that you have for yourself. So after that branding exercise, then I realized, you know what, I actually do have a lot to share. And with the Habit Freedom book, it was really important for me to write that because of the journey that I'd been on, overcoming drinking too much alcohol, eating unconsciously and overeating, doom scrolling, binge watching Netflix and series, and just like having really, really unhealthy habits. And working with clients then who also had limiting habits, and I started to help them with similar things once I figured out a game plan for myself, and then introduced it to clients and worked for them as well. And I thought, you know what? This world really is designed by very intelligent people, from the food companies, the food engineers, to the tech engineers, to enslave us in these habits and addictions and compulsions. And I want to be part of the solution for that. And so that's how that all unfolded in combination with my business, therelatingacademy.com, where I teach relationships, myself and the coaches teach relationships. And when I was writing about relationships, I realized that the most important relationship that we'll ever have, also the first, the last, and the longest relationship we ever have, is the one with ourselves. And the way to create that nurturing and loving and respectful relationship with ourselves is through having great habits and is through the Habit Freedom journey. So a combination of those led me to write this book.
Combination, indeed. Certain indeed. It's funny how when you're talking, it's like, oh, you're first and last. It reminds me of that good old Barry White song, my first, my last, my everything. It's like, yep, starts with you, buddy. You got to have the good relationship with yourself first. Don't bring someone else into the chaos.
Yeah, but we do. We very much bring other people into our chaos. And even after working on myself for years and years and understanding all of these principles, you know, I still have things that I learn about myself and work on every day and improve. And so, yeah, there's always that element of chaos, which makes us human and makes us random and weird and different and not uniform compared to AI, for example.
Yeah, it's true indeed. So when did it all click when you figured out, you know what, these are the freaking five relationships you have to really be good with to really have that freedom here, like to have that habit freedom? Like, what was it like at a Starbucks one day or a coffee shop one day? You're like, had that third sip of caffeine, it was like, ah, it's coming together, it clicks.
It clicked one at a time, and it started like the first relationship, the relationship with discomfort, was the first one that I was sure that I needed, like, that was. And undeniable. I was like, okay, that's very important for me to master, is that relationship with discomfort, because when I change any habit and I go from who I used to be to who I'm becoming, there's going to be a space of discomfort. I'm gonna crave and go for my old habits, whether it's doom scrolling or drinking alcohol. And then I'm gonna have to say no to those cravings and those old habits. And so I have to be able to sit with discomfort. So that was the first one that kind of landed. And then I had the others, the relationship with the now, for example, came to me in a meditation retreat. So it's 10 days of silence. It's called Vipassana. There's Vipassana centers all over the world. It's free to learn. And really sitting for 10 days in silence with myself made me have this realization that it's all now. There is no future. There is no past. Everything that I could ever want is now. All of my power, all of my potential is right now. We live in this delusion, right, Dom, that tomorrow it'll get easier, or tomorrow it'll get better, or like we pacify ourselves with these stories about tomorrow and or the past. So the past was the good old days, or the past was really crap. Whatever that polarity is or that story is, we as a society don't have that skill set of really being present in the now. And there's so many opportunities to consume the now away, to scroll the now away, to eat the now away, to like, it's so, like I said, designed to take our power away from the now. So that was the second relationship that was like, okay, this one is really important. Plus, obviously, there's that book, Power of Now. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah,
very powerful book. It teaches us that there are no problems in the now. Whatever the stress is, the financial stress, the health stress, the relationship stress that we sometimes have, if we really just take a few deep breaths and get present in our bodies and get very, very grounded in the now, we realize, oh, hold on, there are no problems in the now. And that one thought alone has transformed my life. So I really, really appreciated that book for that. And then the relationship with the self was also unfolding in terms of like the relationship with my inner child. Where did some of my addictions and compulsions and patterns come from? You know, when I was a little girl, the present moment didn't feel safe. I grew up in an immigrant family. I love my parents. They're amazing. But at the time when I was very young, there's also a lot of conflict in the household. And that conflict felt unsafe. And so my escape from that conflict was to dive into academia and get really good at school. And so I started to escape the present moment and escape the now when I was very, very young. So in that relationship with myself, I really had to go back and reparent young Anna, give her all the things, provide to her all the things that she thought she was missing. She thought she was missing attention, connection, all these things, and really being there for her, for that inner child, when she does have a craving to numb out or disassociate or escape the present moment. And so that was a huge one. And then the fourth relationship is the relationship with others. And how to operate in the world as if the world is a mirror and all relationships are mirrors, an opportunity for us to reflect on ourselves. That relationship I'd been studying for years. When I was about 18 years ago, I got introduced to this concept through one of my mentors who I studied with for about 8 years, Dr. John DeMartini. And through a series of questions, you realize that everyone is just showing you parts of yourself. So I've been studying this relationship for years and years. It just took almost 20 years for me to condense it and figure out a way to tell the story so that it's valuable to other people and it's implementable, applicable. So those four were the first relationships. And then the final relationship that really I didn't figure out until right at the end, because I kept on slipping up. I kept on promising myself I wasn't going to eat the sugar. I kept on promising myself that I was going to stick to a gym routine, but I just couldn't keep these promises to myself. And it wasn't until this final relationship that it all clicked into place. I don't know if you've ever had that happen where you have all these puzzle pieces and you've been working on something for years and you've been trying all the things and just something feels like it's missing. And then you hear one thing or you see one thing or just one thing comes into your reality and the whole puzzle piece, the whole puzzle just emerges where you're like, oh, wow, this is what I've been working on all along. And that final puzzle piece for me was the relationship with the light. What I mean by light is infusing my life with things that bring me joy, light, gratitude, things that expand me, because I realized that in the absence of a grand, beautiful life that I adore waking up to, and I, at the end of every single day, I can say, thank you so much for this. In the absence of that, I'm going to be reaching for the cheap dopamine that's in food and alcohol and in my phone, right? So really filling my life with light, with connection, with nature, with people, with creativity and things that really light me up. That was the only way to really have my limiting habits leave me for good and for my healthy habits and expansive habits to stick around for good.
Stick around for good indeed. She found the crazy glue to make it stick.
That was the glue to make it all stick. Because, you know, when it was just discomfort to discomfort, I was just white knuckling, right? I just, day one, day two, day 30 of like not drinking or not eating sugar, then I'd just be miserable. And eventually I'd just crack, right? The willpower would give out. And I was so sick and tired of this pattern of having 1,000 day ones that I was like, no, what is the missing part? And it was that relationship with the light where I had to, like I said, create such a beautiful life that I loved, that I didn't need to numb out from. That's where everything fell into place.
Yes, I'm talking about days. I'm talking about days. You love to freaking see it, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because I remember probably like 30 minutes ago when that episode first started, kind of reminded me of like how you mentioned how the void of the childhood eventually becomes your value later in life. Because it's like, hey, you get to go back and look at Minnie Anna and be like, hey, like, hey, having trouble relationships at the time with myself and others. And it's like, okay, cool, let's fix this now. And it's like, all right, let's help folks in the current time now. Because it's like, all right, been through this trauma, been through this pain. It's like, I'm addicted to the darn alcohol and these habits of doom scrolling and yeah, like the with the distraction slabs. That's what their name should be called instead of smartphones. Call them distraction slabs because they're just built to distract us.
That's not a bad idea. I saw this really funny meme that said like, hey, Pavlo, RIP, you would have loved notifications. You know, Pavlov's dog?
Yep.
Hey, dude, RIP, you would have loved this shit.
No kidding, shoot. Definitely would have loved it indeed. So my goodness, so since you're going on a bit of a tour promoting the good work you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks could ask you more often when you're doing interviews like this?
A question that I wish folks would ask more often. That is a brilliant question to get started. I guess it's, you know, what do I wish I knew when I was younger, maybe? What do I wish, if I could travel back and give my younger self a nugget? And I would just give her that assurance and that I'd give her a giant hug and reassure her that she's really not alone and that all the hard things that she is going through are going to end, number one. And number two, they are going to be of great service to thousands and millions of people. Because the despair and that loneliness and the darkness that I experienced was very frightening from time to time. And I did have an element of trust. I knew that I was too young to not figure it out. I had this, I'm like, I'm too young, you know, like I can't, like, I have to figure it out. I read all the books, I listened to all the podcasts, and then I started to piece some of the things together. Some of them worked, some of them didn't work. And it took 7 years of me struggling, 7 years of me knowing that I needed to stop drinking, that it wasn't the most productive thing, that it was holding me back and I was numbing out with the substance. But like, I mean, I hired a sobriety coach, which worked for a short time. And then that led to like a bunch of relapses. So I tried everything. And I just knew, you know what? If I just keep trying, I have to break through. Like, I have to figure, like, I will win. The only way that I would not win is if I gave up.
And you didn't. So I'm talking about these. I'm talking about these. That's right. And I guess, shoot, I guess, 2 years sober, 3 years sober?
One and a half.
Okay.
It feels like a lifetime. But remember, you know, as a human behavior specialist, I'm used to putting things into systems and understanding my process. So as I was going through it, even before, because, you know, I had the stints of sobriety and then I go back to drinking. So, you know, even though it's been 1.5 uninterrupted, the journey has been 7 years plus 1.5, right? So I've been collecting knowledge and nuggets about this, the system and this journey for almost 10 years.
Oh, congratulations indeed. Still all the beginning. You'll love to see it. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Habit Freedom, Ditch Limiting Habits, Enhance Performance, and Enrich Relationships. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Ooh, great question. It would be a platter. It would be a sushi platter. And there would be all sorts of sushi. There would be vegetarian sushi. There'd be fried tempura sushi. There'd be fresh sushi. There'd be sashimi. All different types. It's for most people, but not everybody. That's why. Not everyone is going to love sushi, but a lot of people do. And once you like sushi, you will find something. Like, once you like are interested in this topic, there will be something in this book for you. I promise you that. So that's why I compare it to sushi.
Ah, you love to see it indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Good times indeed. Good times indeed. So my goodness. I probably should ask this question earlier, but since you've been through so many businesses as an entrepreneur and bounced back from all of them, has there been a major setback that you consider was actually a catalyst to a major success for you?
So many setbacks, and they're all catalysts to success. I mean, I remember in the hospitality industry, I got fired twice. Once for complete incompetence, because all of a sudden I was leading people because I'd asked for the promotion, but I had none of the leadership skills that I needed. And that felt like a setback, but also I felt like I was set free from that industry, and then I was free to start the wine export business and so on and so on. So yeah, I had setbacks like that. I've had so many different offers and businesses that I started and then it didn't work. Also, like, when I was struggling with the alcohol and the drinking, I felt like I was constantly on this rabbit hole of starting things and not finishing them, because my dopamine had been hacked by the alcohol. And so I didn't have the dopamine resources to, because we're supposed to get our dopamine from achieving things, right? From going on the hunt, getting the food, getting the girl, getting the guy, like whatever it is, like it's supposed to be from that. But now we get dopamine from flicking our finger on a screen and drinking a glass of Coca-Cola or a glass of wine. So that way our dopamine gets hacked. And that setback of just feeling muted, you know, like you're like, I have so many ideas and I have so much potential and I keep starting things, but I'm just not able to finish them. And it got so frustrating. That's, you know, what it felt like, Dom. It felt like, and a friend of mine helped me with this realization. It felt like a bow being pulled back and back and back. And the thing is, the further that the bow gets pulled back, the further it could shoot forward. So by being pulled back so much and felt like so muted, I was finally able to shoot forward and produce the things that I'm producing now, connect with the people that I'm connecting with now, write the books, talk about the things that I'm talking about now. So yeah, all of those setbacks did serve me, and I choose to see it that way. I could also sit in my victim consciousness and think, oh no, all these years were stolen from me, I didn't optimize my potential and I started things, I didn't finish them. I could choose to see it that way, which feels quite disempowering, or I can choose to see it's what had to happen for me to create what I need to create. You know, when I was in the depths, like the depths of like just drinking disgustingly for days at a time, one thought that I used to have was, there's so many sages and prophets and wise people who've been through really intense addictions. And I'm not saying like I'm one of those people, but I do find that it's given me a lot of compassion and insight and tools to create what I am creating now and to be the person who I am now. And it just gave me a little bit of solace going like, you know, just because I'm visiting such dark places, it must mean that I'm also able to reach such light places. And I really have found that like the types of people I get to connect with because of my story and like the depths of connections that I'm also able to have, would not be able to have that without everything that I've been through, including and especially because of all the setbacks.
Yeah, all setbacks, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's like, all right, cool, let me do this thing. Like, yeah, come on, promote me, buddy. Promote me, come on, do it, Buzz. I can do it. All right, I'm here. Alrighty. Alright, so I press this button and then the building won't explode. Crap, the building exploded, darn it. It's like, get out. Get out. We should have never told you where that button was. Thank
you. I feel transported through the wormhole that's in your screen into a parallel universe.
Oh, yeah. That's right, indeed. It's parallel, all right. All the parallelograms you could see. That's right, indeed. We got a random trapezoid in there, too, from time to time for fun. Oh, man. Well, we're going to go down to the magical question. Yes, well, we're coming down to the magical question every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow when you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, man, what a good one. What advice would I give to myself? I would say, do the hard thing now. I have lived an amazing, incredible life. I've traveled for 14 years. I've lived all over the world. And that's phenomenal. I have friends all over and all of that. I would have done the hard thing much sooner of like quitting drinking, getting my shit together, organizing my thoughts. And even though I really do believe like I don't have any regrets, because where I am is exactly where I need to be. There's no space. Like, why would I have regrets? Like, it's just wasted air, wasted thoughts, you know? But if I had a 25-year-old in front of me, then the advice that I'd give her is, do the hard thing now, whatever it is, leaving that toxic relationship, having that hard conversation, and mending your relationship with your mother or your father, whatever that hard thing is. The easiest it will ever get is right now. We think that tomorrow it might be easier, but we're just deluding ourselves, because today all we're doing is reinforcing the neural pathway of that thing, the limiting habit. And so when we break through and do the hard thing now, then we start to create new neural pathways and start to reinforce the new one. But it never gets easier in the future. The easiest it ever gets to put down the vape, to put down the alcohol, the sugar, whatever it is, the easiest it ever gets is right now, is today.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Do the hard thing now, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. It could be a giant banana statue. Must certainty do the hard thing now. Must certainty.
I make it really easy for my clients to remember. I'm like, whenever you're in doubt, just put your five fingers up, your hands, and just, it's five words. Do the hard thing now. Just tap on those five fingers and just remember, what am I doing today? I'm doing the hard thing now. And we don't need a banana statue for that. We just have our hand. And that's really great anchor. Whenever there's like a decision, it's like, do I go to gym or do I have to have the glass of wine? You know, do I go to gym or do I have the glass of wine? It's like, well, let's see. Do the hard thing now. Well, the hard thing is to go to the gym. Okay, let's do that now.
So there we go. So we have to have a hand statue. Okay, there we go. That's what it is. All right, now it all makes sense. All right, the banana is only one. It only stands for the do. That's like the hard thing now. It's like, oh, we need all five fingers. All right, there we go. What do the five fingers say to the bad habits? Smack. That's right.
They do the hard thing now. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's right. They smack the easy things out the way. Do the hard thing. Get it out the way. Eating the frog, all that good stuff. That's right.
Exactly. We're eating the frog.
Well, since frogs got good hops, folks need to hop over to your magical site and cop some copies of your book. So for those who need to do just that and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so, Anna?
It's on habitfreedom.com. And then people are really welcome to DM me on Instagram at Anna Shalina. I love answering questions on all things habits and relationships. So at Anna Shalina Instagram and habitfreedom.com is the website.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. Going to put a link to all of Anna's goods in the show notes. That way you can keep up with her and dive in more to her content. She only shared a small part of it today. She's got a whole boatload more of content. Indeed, that's right, indeed. She's got you covered like a blanket, maybe three blankets in the wintertime. Indeed, so check it out. And the good news is her most recent book is in audio form, too. So if you're enchanted today, you get to be enchanted even longer because she's reading the whole book herself. Indeed, that's right. You get to have Anna in your brain for a lot longer. That's right, indeed. You'll have it longer than three winter dogs in your brain, y'all. That's right. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, before 10 more winter dogs show up and try to have a dog contest, any parting words before we close up shop, Anna?
The only one is laugh more, have more fun, infuse your life with joy, because that will etch out all the limiting habits eventually. So when I've absolutely loved this conversation, all the giggles, all the laughter, and the more we have of that and the more connection we have, the less limiting habits we're going to have.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.